Just a couple of announcements. Sunday school hour at 9:30 and the church service at 10:30. And Wednesday nights, though, we're going to take a break for until fall. And so enjoy your midweeks. And I don't know what you're going to do this Wednesday night after the 4th of July. That's the 5th, right? Well, have fun cleaning up firecrackers or whatever you have to do. And there is a word of thank you from Cecilia and her family in the bulletin, and I'll let you read that. And it's good to see Cecilia and her son Joe here at the service this morning. Our prayer was that we would have a God-honoring funeral last Monday. And, you know, there are still people that are talking about that funeral. And I'm one of them, right? And our prayer is that it indeed could be God-honoring. There are some health issues, and there's actually more health issues that are listed here. Frida's with us this morning. Herman?
He'll find out next week when he goes back to Mayo for a
loan. Okay, all right. And so all we can do is pray. There is an announcement about the Acuna family. And for those of you, I'll just remind you, Peru had an awful earthquake earlier this year, along with Ecuador in that region. And they went back to visit their family, and they were allowed to take two suitcases each, and there's five of them. So they packed their personal stuff in one suitcase and then took five more suitcases full of gifts, clothing mainly for people who were suffering in Peru. And so they would like to thank you. I'd like to thank you for participating in that. And then there's a little thank you. And I didn't think to bring the plaque this morning. It's hanging on the wall in our house. And it says, the old rugged cross, I'll exchange it someday for a crown. And I that's a very nice a nice gift. Well, I'll let you read the bulletin and keep that in mind. And in the meantime, let's open our Bibles to John chapter 8. John chapter 8 for our scripture reading this morning. And as we think of Independence Day, it's important for us as God's children to never forget that freedom is a byproduct of Jesus Christ. Freedom is a byproduct of the truth. And no matter what the nation, no matter who the people are, including the United States, if you think that the United States is too big to fail, think again. As we move away from the truth and we move away from Jesus Christ, our freedoms are going to dissipate proportionately. And so we need to be diligent. We need to pray. Let's pick it up in verse 20. And I've got I got it listed right there. John 8, verse 20. These words spake Jesus in the treasury as he taught in the temple. And no man laid hands on him, for his hour was not yet come. Then said Jesus again unto them, I go my way, and ye shall seek me, and ye shall die in your sins. Whether I go, you can't come. Then said the Jews, will he kill himself, because he saith, whether I go, he cannot come? And he said unto them, ye are from beneath, or earthly. I am from above. Ye are of this world. I am not of this world. And I say therefore unto you, that you shall die in your sins. For if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. Then said they unto him, who are you? And Jesus saith unto them, even the same that I said unto you from the beginning. I have many things to say and to judge of you, but he that sent me is true. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard of him. They understood not that he spake to them of the Father. Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, and we know from other passages that lifting up is referred to the cross, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as of my Father. But as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that please him. As he spake these words, many believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Let's pause for prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for who you are, that you are willing to submit to your Father's will. And we thank you that your Father loved us all so much that he was willing to send you to die on the cross, that if we believe, we should not perish, but have everlasting life. We pray that in the gospel, there is a liberation. We thank you that in your word, the truth, there is a liberating spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. We thank you for this. We want to thank you for our country and for those founders who all may not have understood this principle totally, but they did enough where they put in safeguards to protect our liberty. They put in safeguards to protect the truth, and that God's word was a basis for many of the founding principles of this country. And as we sadly see today, that these principles are being deserted, we pray that as your children, we will take heart in the fact that you have everything under control, and no man, even then, could not kill you until the time was right, that in the end, you will establish true justice here on earth. And we just pray that we would look forward to that day, and that we, in the meantime, would be faithful to that liberating message, the gospel of Jesus Christ. We want to just bring before you and thank you that we can. Those who are suffering physically, we just pray that those who have cancer and going through chemo and other treatments, we just pray that in your grace you could undertake for them and extend their lives, and that their lives could be drawn closer to you and be used in a great way to bring honor and glory to Jesus Christ. We want to just remember Sylvan Eliason's family this morning, and we think of his funeral last Monday and the many people that were there. We just pray that the whole service could just be used to cause people to think about what Jesus Christ did on the cross for them, that they would just come to appreciate the fact that our sin has been paid for in full by Jesus Christ and Him alone. And so we thank you for every opportunity that we have to share this great message. And so we want to commend our service to you. We think of our brothers and sisters in Christ around the world who don't have the foundation of freedom that we enjoy in this country. We just pray that they would find comfort in your grace. And as we think of freedom that is so easily lost, that we too would understand that in the end, our comfort can only come from the God of all comfort. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's stand, if we would, to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, a prison epistle that Paul wrote when he wasn't free. He was in prison, under house arrest. He had some liberties. He wasn't held in stocks for the whole time, but he was guarded every day, waiting for his trial. And we read in this epistle how the Apostle Paul, during this time, could just reflect and could share the grace of God through all of the trials and tribulations that he went through. He was glad for the gospel being spread. He then made reference to the attitude and mind that we all should have, a mind that Jesus Christ has. And he uses in the first part of chapter 2, Jesus Christ is the example of a person who is willing to lay aside his rights for what's the best interest of others. And as we move on in this chapter, we noted in last week in Philippians chapter 2 that he has some instructions for believers. And he says this in verse 12, "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in this world, holding forth the word of life." And what's interesting in verse 16, that while at the end of verse 15, we're described as shining lights, that in verse 16, we are told to hold forth. And holding forth carries with it the idea of offering. And as we stop and we think of what do we have to offer anyone, and when you really get to the bottom line, what the world needs is Jesus Christ. And I don't care if you're at a funeral or if you're at a wedding, and I've thought of this often, what do I have to offer people? And you know what? It isn't much. But what does God have to offer? And what God has to offer is forgiveness of sins and the gift of eternal life. What God has to offer and what he has offered through his Son, Jesus Christ, is an amazing thing. And so Paul goes on to say, "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Yea, and if I be offered upon the sacrifice and service of your faith, I joy and rejoice with you. For the same cause also do ye joy and rejoice with me." In verse 17 and 18 is Paul's way of saying, no matter what happens to me, no matter what happens to you, we can all rejoice in what we have in Jesus Christ as we give ourselves. And I couldn't help but think, as we think of Independence Day, that Paul goes on and he gives us three human examples of men who have, in a measure, put on the mind of Christ. And the first one is Timothy. And in verse 19, we read this, "But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For," now listen to verse 20, "I have no man like-minded." Like-minded to who? Like-minded to himself. And that mind of Christ that Paul mentions back in verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state." That's interesting, isn't it? That when we put on the mind of Christ and we start to mature in Christ, it seems natural, doesn't it? It's not cranked out because this is something I have to do, otherwise people won't think well of me. And so, are you with me on that? Oftentimes, we do things grudgingly and of necessity. But what Paul is saying is this, is that Timothy, it just flows out of him, and he goes on to say this, and this is a very sobering verse, verse 21. "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." And I thought about that verse. The Apostle Paul, in fact, in the next verse, he makes reference to himself again, "But you know the proof of him," reference Timothy, "that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Him, therefore, I hope to send presently. So soon I shall see how it will go with me. But I trust in the Lord that I also myself shall come shortly. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother and companion in labor and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my needs. For he longed after you all, and was full of heaviness, because that ye had heard that he had been sick. For indeed he was sick, nigh unto death. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but on me also, lest I should have sorrow upon sorrow." Now, just let me just stop right there. Here is Epaphroditus. He gets so sick he almost dies. And the people heard about it. And he felt bad, not because he was sick, but because people heard that he was sick, and it caused them to be distracted. What a servant that he has, or this man is. And if you just read those verses and let them sink in, what a mindset that Epaphroditus has. What a mindset Timothy has. What a mindset Paul has. And yet, in verse 21, he says this, "For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ." And when you look at that, the little word "all," in fact, it's the emphatic in the sentence. Paul means all in this particular verse. What do you mean, Paul? You just talked about Timothy, yourself, Epaphroditus. All men seek their own? Really? Not the things which are Jesus Christ? Really, Paul? You're talking to the whole church at Philippi, and this is what you have to say? And you might be sitting here and you might be saying, well, I think I'm a Timothy. Or I'm Epaphroditus. Just call me Epa or Pap or something. I don't know. That's my nickname. And because I don't seek my own. I put other people's interests ahead of my own. That isn't what Paul says right here. And I want to remind us of this, is that as human beings who retain a sin nature, and that sin nature, from the day you were born, said what? Me first. Me first. The whole world revolves around me. Even those cute little babies. They're little sin natures. And they want their way. And aren't they cute? And they don't care. They don't care what you think about them. Just satisfy my needs. And little ones grow up to be big ones. And here we sit. And you might say, you know what? I give to others. But what Paul is saying is this, is that in every one of us, there is, in our natural state, there is in that sin nature, yes, I'll take care of others, but it's me first. It's my interest first. And I can only do so much, you know. Otherwise, it's my interest first. And yes, I'll serve Jesus Christ, but at my time, when it's convenient for me, because I have my interest too. And the Apostle Paul is saying, aren't you glad that Jesus Christ didn't sit in heaven and say, when it's convenient for me, I'll go down and help these poor sinners? Oh no. His Father said, now is the time. You go. And Jesus Christ went. And we know from the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus said, if there's any other way, let's do that way. And then he said, but not my will be done, but thine be done. What were you saying, Jesus? Are you saying that as a human being, you would have done things differently? Are you saying that you were kind of gulping at going to the cross? That's exactly what he was saying. And yet he submitted his will to the Father. And as I think about this and the fact that the truth shall make us free, we oftentimes hear that people look at something that's, or we need something that's bigger than ourselves. And isn't it a shame? And there is a lot of truth to that. There is things in this world, Tom, that's more important than you. And the gospel is one of those things. The Apostle Paul got that. That the gospel, the offer of the word, and it says word of life. That's what we're here for. That's more important than himself. Even if he dies. Think of Epaphroditus. He was sick, and Paul says, boy, by the mercy of God, God granted him extra time here on earth. Oh, am I glad, because what a servant this man is. And what a help he will be to you, or could be to you. And as we stop and we think of these men, they knew there was something more important than themselves. And as we stop and we think of our country and the founding of this country, there were founders who knew that there was something bigger than themselves, that there was something that was more important than themselves. And as we stop and we think of what our country has degenerated today into, and don't get me wrong, I'm a patriot. I think the Bible teaches patriotism to your country and loyalty to your country. And I think if we'd have seen actually some of the words to the trumpet song that was played, we would have stood up. Gets you, doesn't it? Hey, didn't the second verse of the Star-Spangled Banner? It kind of gets you, doesn't it? The first verse, just a little bit of history comes to mind. And talking to some, Charlie Clough, who is a retired colonel, said this about that song, "The Bombs Bursting in Air." We sing that, don't we? He says, you know why the bombs were bursting in air? Because on the British ships, which could have destroyed the fort with their cannons, in those days they exploded the cannons, but they shot the cannonballs out and they lit the fuse just before the cannons went, and the length of the fuse determined when the cannonball would explode. And for some reason, the British officer who was in charge of the length of the fuses miscalculated, and all of the shells or the cannonballs exploded before they were supposed to. And as they were shot through the air, they exploded. And hardly any casualties were incurred from that attack, which should have leveled the fort, Fort McHenry. And all these bombs blew up prematurely. What a spectacular sight it was. It inspired a song. And those bombs bursting in air, and our flag was still there. Do you think that God might have had something to do with that? Do we have something to be thankful for? And I don't know what would have been the result or what would have happened had those bombs not blew up in air, but they did. But they did. And it led to a British defeat. And the British withdrew in the War of 1812. And this happened in 1814. And in September, as a matter of fact. And this song just celebrated its 200th birthday. And as we stop and we think of just the providence of God, and then we stop and we think of our founding and the liberties that we enjoy today, and as we think of 1776, July 4th of 1776, this country declared independence from Great Britain. They rang the Liberty Bell to the point where it cracked. And I was in Philadelphia, and we didn't go see the Liberty Bell because it's inside a building and it was raining, and the line was so long to see the Liberty Bell, we'd have been there for 2 or 3 hours waiting in the rain. Did anybody wait? No, I wished I might have waited just to see the Liberty Bell, but I looked at good pictures instead, and we moved on. July 4th, 1776. After this country declared independence, it had to sit down and it wrote a constitution. It wrote bylaws of what this country how it would be governed. And as men got together from all 13 of the then colonies, got together, and many of them said, well, wait a minute, we're not going to ratify the Constitution until we have some additional guarantees that we will be free. And out of that came the 10 amendments to the Constitution. I've read these before, and I think it's good, so I'm going to read them again. You don't mind? Where do you come to church and read the 10 amendments? The First Amendment: Congress shall make no law respecting an establishment of religion, or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or of the press or of the right for people to peaceably assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. Think about that. Our amendments guarantee that we can get together and meet free assembly. And for those who deny people, and listen, this applies to people who want to go listen to a politician they don't like or a politician they like. If Hillary Clinton wants to have a get-together and invite people to come and hear her speak, and you want to go listen to her, the First Amendment guarantees that you have a right. If Donald Trump wants to have a rally and you want to go listen to him, you have every right to go. And people who take away that right hate the Constitution. They're going against what our founding fathers had intended. We have a right. We have a right of free speech. And by the way, that free speech is not to be detached from the free exercise of religion or faith. We have that right. You have the right to share the gospel. You have the right to put a Bible verse in your front lawn. You have that right. And to those who want to take that right away, we should say, you're wrong. You're wrong. Let me go on. And to redress the government, could you imagine if people in North Korea wanted to complain about the government? Can you imagine people in Cuba wanting to complain about Fidel Castro? I forgot the other guy's name in North Korea. What would happen to them? They'd be lucky to live. But not in this country. Not in this country. Second Amendment, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state. Freedom came with a price, and freedom must be defended. And one of the primary responsibilities of a government is to defend its people and its liberties. It goes on, the right of the people, that's individuals, to keep and bear arms. And by the way, this is one sentence. And the founders did not go to the security of a free state to hunting. That is not their change in thought. This is one sentence. And the people of a nation is always the last line of defense. And when you take away the last line of defense, we could be in trouble. Third, no soldier shall in time of peace be quartered in any house. This was a direct result of the British bringing troops over and kicking you out of your house and using your house to quarter their troops. No way. We don't want that. Your house is your house. And you have a right to whoever you want to let in your house. And no soldiers can just come and be quartered by the government without the consent of the owner, nor in time of war, but in a manner to be prescribed by law. Now, war is a serious time, and if we're attacked, maybe we're going to have to ask for a little extra help. And so that was put in to the Third Amendment. Let's read on. Amendment number 4, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effect against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue but upon probable cause supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. And so we stop and we think of the right of privacy. Your stuff is your stuff. And nobody has a right to just snoop through it, even the government. And if there is probable cause, under oath, the state says, this specifically we want to check out. And it's only that they have a right to do. Notice the protection of personal liberties that is guaranteed in these amendments. Amendment 5, no person shall be held to answer for a capital or otherwise infamous crime unless on a presentment or indictment of a grand jury, except in cases arising in the land or naval forces or in the militia, when in actual service in time of war, public danger. And so, listen, you commit treason as a member of the armed forces, you don't get a grand jury. But otherwise you do. Nor shall any person be subject for the same offense to be twice put in jeopardy of life or limb, nor shall be compelled in any criminal case to be a witness against himself. This is where taking the fifth comes in. This is the Fifth Amendment. Nor be deprived of life, liberty, or property without due process of law, nor shall private property be taken for public use without just compensation. And so, just the flavor of this whole amendment is to do what? Is to make sure that individual rights are not trampled, even when you commit a criminal act. And you can see why a free people need to be responsible, don't you? It takes responsibility. Sixth Amendment, in all criminal prosecutions, the accused shall enjoy the right to a speedy and public trial by an impartial jury of the state and district wherein the crime shall have been committed, which district shall have previously ascertained by law, and to be informed of the nature and cause of the accusation, to be confronted with the witnesses against him, to have compulsory process for obtaining witnesses in his favor, and to have the assistance of counsel for his defense. And so this goes back to Europe, when accusations could be made and you didn't have a right to defend yourself. If I say you're guilty and I'm in power, you're guilty. You say, well, wait a minute. Maybe I'm not guilty. In the United States, you have a right to defend yourself. And this is an important right when you stop and you think about this. You may be as guilty as sin, but guess what? You still have a right to defend yourself and make your case. Civil cases in suits of common law where the value in controversy shall exceed $20, the right of trial by jury shall be preserved. And no fact, hey, by the way, that's when a dollar was worth something, right? And no fact tried by a jury shall be otherwise re-examined in any court of the United States than according to the rules of the common law. There's a difference in our country between criminal law and civil law. If you sue someone, you have a right to do that. And if you sue someone for more than $20, they have a right to a jury. And once the people decide, your peers decide, no court has the authority to overrule that civil case. Note the flavor of this. Our founding fathers understood that if there is too much power concentrated in one person, bad news. And they wanted a jury. They wanted more people to make those decisions. And let's read on. 8, excessive bail shall not be required, nor excessive fines imposed, nor cruel and unusual punishments inflicted. And this is an obvious reaction to throwing people in jail for petty crimes for years and years, or taking their house for no good reason, or executing a person without trial. And so we have some civility built in to the punishments. And I might just say that there is this same concept when God disciplines us as children. And there should be the same concept, fathers, when you discipline your children. You don't take a 2-year-old for spilling milk and tear the hide off of them. You be reasonable. Does that make sense? Now, if you got a 16-year-old, you got to get a little tougher. Any of you who have teenagers, you know that. But punishment should fit the crime. And God deals with us very patiently and nurtures us along. And we have that spirit in this particular amendment, in the 9th Amendment. The enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And so the way you interpret the Constitution cannot be used to take away your rights that are already guaranteed. And of course, we've got all kinds of, what do we call them today, Philadelphia lawyers, who use this law and pit it against this law, and what ends up, we lose liberty. That is not the intent of our founding fathers. And by the way, these amendments were conditioned on ratifying the Constitution. Without these amendments being agreed to by all, we would not have the Constitution we have today. The last one, the powers not delegated to the United States by the Constitution, nor prohibited by it to the states, are reserved to the states respectively or to the people. And so as we stop and we think of in our country, where should the power come from? Should more power come from St. Paul or Washington? Answer, St. Paul. Affairs in Wilmer, should more power come from, or decision-making come from the local or St. Paul? The spirit here is get as much decision-making as close to the people as you possibly can. And as we stop and we think of dictatorships and totalitarian mindsets and world government mindsets, what we see is a transfer of local control to the state and from the states to Washington, D.C. And I might just say that I pray that our new president will have the courage to say, this decision-making does not belong in Washington. We're going to kick it back to the states. Isn't that what that says? Isn't that the intent that we have? And it's interesting, and I believe that it's satanic. And we're getting ready. John tells us in his first epistle that the Antichrist is not here yet, but the spirit of Antichrist is already working. And Satan is setting the stage. And one of the things that he does, that he wants to do, is to destroy individual rights and concentrate power. Think about it. If all the power could be in one spot, and Satan could get control of that one spot. Wow. This is what happened at the Tower of Babel. And what did God do? He confused people, and people scattered, and nationalism was born. And power concentrated in one spot was not there. So what does that mean to us as individuals? These people. And as we think of veterans, on Memorial Day is a day to remember veterans who have died in the service of our country. It's not to remember veterans who are still alive. We have Veterans Day, when is that? November 11th, something like that, for the veterans that are still alive. But we have Independence Day, and Independence Day took sacrifice. It took sacrifice. And it took men at all levels, including soldiers, who saw something more important and bigger than themselves. It took people who said this, I'm willing to make the sacrifice so that my children and my grandchildren can live in freedom because of the fight that I made today. And when we have a military who's full of patriots, who's full of people who love this country, you have a military who, when the cause is just, is willing to make the sacrifice. In fact, could any veteran here just stand up right now? If you've served, stand up in any branch. I have to sit down. I didn't make it. Freedom takes sacrifice. And as we stop and we think of the truth shall make you free, and we think of Paul and Timothy and Epaphroditus, the examples that they set, these men were willing to make the sacrifice for others. These men said there's something more important than my interest. And while all men put their own interests first, these men didn't. And while all of us have the tendency, and you might say, well, I remember there was a time last year that I really didn't do something I wanted to do to help someone. Well, good. That was real good. That was every once in a while, you know, every once in a while we kind of step up to the plate. But in general, what Paul is saying, that all of us have an overpowering tendency to put my interests first. And as we stop and we think of the degeneration in this country, there are a growing number of people that say this, if I vote for you, what will you give to me? What's in it for me? We are being taught in school that governments are supposed to provide this, 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 and this. And we've got all people who seek their own, rubbing their hands together. Oh, yes, I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and I want this, and I'll vote twice if you'll give me this. And where are the people who are saying, you know what? I'm willing to give up for the freedom of others. I'm willing to give up. Aren't you glad that Jesus Christ gave up his rights for us? Aren't you glad? And as we stop and we think of carrying our weight and being willing to sacrifice, some of you grandparents and parents who have been around for a while, look at the younger generation coming up. And many of you have sacrificed for your own prodigy and given up things for them. It's this spirit that should permeate not only your family, but it should permeate the church, and it should permeate our nation. There is something that's bigger than us. There is something that's more important than us. And as a family, I hope you get it. And as a church, I hope we get it. That the gospel of Jesus Christ is more important. In fact, if we don't talk about Jesus Christ, then we've missed the whole point of being here. I've taken a little time this morning in honor of Independence Day, to remind you that freedom is not free, that freedom takes diligence. It also takes responsibility. Citizens need to think. Citizens need to behave wisely. And young people, you get a privilege to get a driver's license. That's fun, isn't it? I love to drive. I still do. I drove before I had a driver's license. But when I got it, it was kind of a relief because I didn't have to gulp when I drove by a cop. I must have looked older than I was, so I got by with it. But don't hold that against me. We love to drive, don't we? But you know what? If I would have abused that privilege, and I'd have got pulled over because of my abuse, my driving privileges would have been postponed. And I'll just use that as an example. If we abuse the liberties, if we abuse the privileges that we have, we lose them. We lose them. We need to be responsible citizens. Let's pause for prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just want to thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ. We want to thank you for your willingness to understand that while you were just fine in heaven, we were not fine. And you were willing to forego your rights to come and provide salvation for us. We pray that as your children, that we would understand that what people need may take sacrifice from us. We pray that we would be willing to make the sacrifice to permeate the freedoms that we enjoy. And we want to thank you, or thank those who are willing to pay the price and to make the sacrifice so that we could live the way we do. In Jesus' name, amen.